Welcome back to the Fit Dad Club podcast. My name is Travis Jones. I'm here with Jason Barrett. Jace, how are you doing today, buddy?
Doing excellent, mate. I'm looking forward to the podcast today to bust some myths, to bust some misconceptions around the fitness space and the questions that we tend to get a lot from dads and the comments we get a lot from dads that come on board around some of these things. So hopefully, if you are a dad listening and you're wanting to drop the dad bod and you're, you know, not sure 100% where to start, first of all, make sure you follow the podcast and subscribe and book in a call with us if you haven't already and you're looking to get that little bit of extra accountability. But today, I'm very excited to be running through some of these misconceptions and clearing it all up. What about yourself? How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Good. Ready for another week of, you know, talking with you. I think also, guys, if you think you know it all, please also listen because you might not know everything. And also, this is so many questions that we get from guys who are inquiring with us, who, you know, do coach with us or don't coach with us. Like, this is where the general person's at. So if you already know this and know the answers to these misconceptions, your friends clearly don't. So maybe just having a different way of talking about them can help your friends out as well. So if you're not listening to this podcast for you today, you can also listen to it for your friends. The first one I do want to talk about, mate, is like, you know, so many people will say to me, oh, yeah, fast food's so fattening. The reason why I gained weight, or I can't eat fast food. So they think fast food's fattening, so they don't want to go on a diet because, you know, fast food is somewhat of a part of their life. You know, as it is for a lot of people with everything so full on in this day and age. So they can't go on a diet because it just doesn't fit in with their life or lifestyle or family or time constraints. So they say, I can't do this because I can't stick to a diet because I need to have fast food. Now, this is a big bump on. No, fast food's not fattening. The choices you're making around fast food is fattening. And we can break this down in a couple of different ways. One, it can be what you're deciding to eat for fast food could be fattening due to the sheer volume of fast food you need to eat to stay, to become full, right? So maybe you're having a, you go to Macca's and you're getting a double quarter pounder combo with large fries and a Coke. Yeah, well, that is probably more than half of your daily calorie requirements. So if you are eating another couple of meals throughout the day, yes, your daily total will be fattening because you're going to put on weight. But your choice was just a little bit misguided with the fast food you were eating. We know that there was the guy, you know, I can't remember his name. He ate, you know, Macca's every day for, I think, 30 days or 60 days and he ended up losing weight. So you can choose even at McDonald's, the right foods to keep you in a calorie deficit that will make you lose weight. The food isn't fattening. The calories you're consuming on the whole over the day and over the week is what's causing you to be fat. Or there was the guy who ate Twinkies and Doritos for the professor. He ate Twinkies and Doritos for probably, I think it was again, 60 days or 90 days. And he ended up losing weight and he ended up losing fat mass. And I think he held his muscle mass or increased his fat mass. All his health markers increased and he only ate Twinkies and Doritos. So guys, I need you to stop thinking that a certain food group is fattening. It's the quantity of the food group and also making, when you're going towards fast food, making better quality decisions, which will happen if you have more awareness around this.
Yeah, fast food and junk food, I think, are the two ones that people say, oh, it's like junk food. Oh, I ate chips or I ate chocolate and that's going to blow me out. And the problem is more so it's the overall focus on ingredients as opposed to the like the bigger picture. And it's like, oh, because it's got sugar in it or because it's got a lot of fats in it or a lot of salt in it. Salt isn't fattening. Like you can eat enough salt, you'll shed because you'll die. Because you eat too much salt, you'll die. So don't do that, by the way. But there are ingredients that contribute to a food being particularly flavorful and make you want to eat more of it. Think about, you know, like MSG as an ingredient to make food taste really good, to make you want to eat more of it. This doesn't mean that foods are bad for you. This doesn't mean that a food is going to make you fat. As Trav's saying, it's just about your over willingness to overindulge in the food. And you've got to know that that's your tendency. You've got to know your own habits. You've got to know that your particular pattern is to overeat and overindulge when that does happen. And the second thing you've got to do is just, as Trav said, look for the better choices, right? Look for the, for most people, chicken wraps, chicken salads, that kind of stuff. You can get that from Macca's, right? You can go through KFC and just get some tenderloins, right? Like you shouldn't be going through KFC probably as your first call. Yeah, there's better options for leaner foods. But at the end of the day, you've got to make sure you're picking better choices if you are going to have to go to fast food. Ideally, you don't, just because from an ingredient quality perspective, because you tend to eat a fair amount and then also not get full when you are eating fast food. That's kind of one of the issues. But then, you know, if you make a better choice there, you can still have some of that fast food and not go too hungry and still lose weight. Like it's not that fast food is fattening. It's that you're having, you know, 2,500 calories from the fast food. Like, oh, why can't I lose weight? Even if it's not all the time, let's say it's every second or third night and you eat really well on the other nights, right? And that might be another one we'll get into about, oh, I eat really well, but not understanding what eating well actually is, then blowing out every other night is going to bring your calorie average up to the point where you don't lose any weight and you think, well, fuck, why bother? It's all the fast food.
Mate, exactly. And I think if you look at it, there's, you know, we have a medium quarter pounder meal, okay? A medium quarter pounder meal is going to be 1,050 calories. So yeah, it's crazy. A dare iced coffee and a sausage roll is also 1,000 calories. Wow. So yeah, this is my,
I used to have a dare every morning. Honestly, when I was a surveyor, I used to have a dare iced coffee every morning. I didn't have the sausage roll, but they were just so good. But they go down in about 3 seconds. It's probably about like 400-500 calories just for the fucking dare if you got the big enough one.
Yeah, mate, it is. Yeah,
in summer that goes down in about 2 minutes, if that. It does not last, right? So you've got to also think about the calorie to speed ratios. Like, this is why we don't recommend liquid calories for a lot of people, right? Things like alcohol, beer, you know, full fat coffees, full fat mochas, you know, dare iced coffees, that kind of stuff. Because that's 500 calories gone. That's like a whole meal. Like, there's meal plans and recipes and shit in the Keystone app where we upload our recipes. A full serve of a beef and I was chatting to one of my clients yesterday. One of my recipes, beef and black bean noodles, is 500 calories for the bowl. I was like, you could be, and people are like, oh, because I get hungry on a fat loss diet, I'm gonna do this. It's like, yeah, because you're fucking drinking dare iced coffees,
mate. And if you think about it, it's like 2 quarter pounders. That's only 840 calories. So you could have 2 quarter pounders, or you could have a medium quarter pounder meal, which is going to be more calorie dense. You can have 2.5 quarter pounders, 2.5 quarter pounders for the same amount of calories. Like, the quarter pounders will fill you up more. You can have 2 Big Macs for 1,100 calories. They will fill you up more. Now, I'm not saying eat these, but I'm saying you have to look at your fast food volume. Okay, because if you're eating such a low volume of food and it's not going to fill you up, because you'll have a dare iced coffee and a sausage roll as a smoko break. So it's like your smaller meal of the day and you're eating, you know, nearly half your daily calorie requirements. It's like, yeah, fast food's not fattening. The choices, again, you're making around the fast food is what's actually fattening. So you can go towards, going down to Zambrero or going down to Guzman and Gomez. You can look at the calories online for that. You can get a burrito for 500 to 600 calories, and it's going to fill you up more. Go get a soda water or a Coke Zero. And it's going to, you have your liquid, but you're getting your drinks in, and it's going to be 0 calories. But like going towards things that are going to fill you up more, also are going to be half the amount of calories. And you go, yeah, well, is a Guzman and Gomez burrito going to keep me more full than a sausage roll and a dare iced coffee? Generally, I would say it would, and it's less calories. So you're not going to overeat in your next meal. Or you can just go get yourself 2 muscle meals and have one for Smoko and have one for, if we're looking at takeaway, like from the IGA, they sell them every IGA, I would say, nearly in Australia, my muscle chefs. Meals, you know, they're going to be between 400 to 500 calories. Most of them are. And you could have one for Smoko and one for lunch. And between the two of them, they're going to be like, and that's 2 meals instead of 1 meal. You're going to stay under the sort of 1,000 calorie mark. And you're going to have a higher protein. You would have hit about 80 to 90 grams of protein. So again, guys, like, you have to start thinking more strategic when you're doing fast food rather than just eating whatever you want. Because if you're eating whatever you want, yeah, 100% is fatting, but also is croissants and so is potatoes, right? Mm. Everything's fattening if you eat a calorie surplus.
I was going to say, this is coming out on Easter Monday as well. So are the leftover hot cross buns with extra butter on them as well. It's just, you've just got to be mindful. And this is why we talk about calories so often. It's like we're kind of beating a dead horse at this point, but it's just because it is so important to drill that in, that it's not about the food composition. Like, that doesn't matter.
I completely agree, mate. I think the next one we'll just keep rolling through these guys. So no, fast food is not fattening. The calories you're consuming when you're eating the fast food is fattening. So you just have to make more strategic decisions. Maybe if you go Google calories in a quarter pounder or lowest calorie items at McDonald's or KFC, like a Zinger Burger is like 400 calories. So but you just can't get a 3-piece feed and popcorn chicken and everything else with it, guys. Like, just make better options. And if you're like, oh, I'm still going to be hungry if I have only a Zinger Burger, then again, make better options. So there's also the lower calorie options. You have more of that and it's higher volume food. Now, people will say to us in the comments or when they're coming to request, it's like, oh, I need to lose weight, I need to lose 10, 20 kilos, but I eat healthy, so my nutrition isn't the problem. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, if you're 20 kilos overweight, your nutrition is the problem. Like, it 100% is. Now, there is also going to be a fact that probably you don't move enough, but even if you move less, we can still eat less and we can still lose weight. It all depends on your constraints. But you might think you're eating healthy, but your nutrition is still the problem, because the total calories consumed when eating healthy is the actual issue. You know, I have avocado on toast. Well, avocado on toast is the same as same amount of calories as a bacon egg McMuffin from McDonald's, going back to the McDonald's. So it's like, you know, you're still over consuming calories, even though you think you're eating healthy. Like the same as dinner time, you might think you're eating healthy, but you're eating fatty cut meats. So instead of eating an eye fillet, you're eating a sirloin steak. It's going to basically nearly double the calories depending on your cut. Instead of having chicken breast, you're having over consuming chicken thigh. I feel like I over consume chicken thigh personally whenever I eat it, because it's just so delicious.
Skin on is more of the problem. If you skin on, crispy chicken thigh is a bit worse of an offender than skinless. I'm a big advocate for, if you're struggling with, you know, dry, shitty chicken breast and you don't know how to cook it properly, first of all, check out the Instagram. I do some videos on that. But skinless chicken thigh is a decent option. But I do agree. I think a lot of people don't understand. They kind of equate two different things, because you can eat quote unquote healthy. You can get a good variety of foods. You can have a bunch of different stuff in your diet and you know, all of that kind of stuff. But none of that matters if you're not in a deficit. None of that matters if you're not actively monitoring portion control, portion sizes. And this is the biggest thing for guys. They say, oh, I'm eating healthy, but it's like they can't really quantify what healthy is, because every different fucking person on the internet, including us, is going to have a different opinion on and a different thing on what is healthy eating, right? So if you are like struggling or not understanding what healthy eating is, it's like, well, first of all, healthy eating isn't the only thing that gets you to lose weight. The biggest thing is a calorie deficit. When you talk about eating for health, yeah, you want to have a variety of nutrients. You want to make sure, and there's like healthy eating in the optimal sense and in the ideal world where you have organic, homegrown, this and that, and everything's fucking great. And you're having a variety of different vegetables at every single meal and different, that's all well and good. But then there's a reality of where we live on planet Earth and the realities of that. And that's going to come down to, are you getting enough protein? Are you getting enough veggies and fruits in general? Just slightly increase that as best you can. Are you getting enough fiber and whole grains? Like, all of that stuff is really what matters. And if you can just continue to improve on that, awesome. That's if you can do that, beautiful. You're eating relatively healthy. But you've got to have portion control. I always remember a client who, she was struggling to lose weight. She told me that she was eating really, really healthy and she didn't understand why. Her breakfast smoothie that she was having was about 900 calories, because it was avocado and coconut milk and nut butters and dates and fucking flax seeds and shit like that. And it's like, oh, that's all well and good. All good stuff. You just need better portion control. And for some of those things, it's like, hey, coconut milk? Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's great for you in like a quarter of a cup day, not a full fucking cup of it. Sure that dates are great for you. One date, not 3-5 blended medjool dates, right? And even so, that one date is probably going to have more calories than two apples. And I know which one's going to fill you up more. So when people say, oh, I'm eating healthy, it's like, okay, that's all well and good, but that doesn't really mean anything. So you've got to be more clear and define, well, what, how am I eating? And then once we define how I'm eating, like actually looking at what are the things that I'm eating, what are the quantities that I'm eating, then we can make adjustments for the goal. Because the goal isn't to quote unquote eat healthy for most people. The goal is to lose body fat. If you can lose body fat, you will be healthier. Like the science shows that over and over and over again. If you can lose body fat, you will be more healthy. So what, that's our goal, is to lose body fat to start with. And then we want to optimize that within our day, within our like our own circumstances, where you might not have, you know, you might have a certain amount of time limitations, or you might, whatever it might be for you. You might be a single parent and you're struggling with time, and you just got to kind of eat what the kids eat. You can't make two different meals. Cool, we work within that. But you've got to be aware that just quote unquote trying to eat healthy, it's, first of all, it's fucking confusing, and second of all, it's not going to get you closer to your goal.
Mate, I completely agree. I think when you say eat healthy, a lot of people, especially in their snacks, like they'll grab one of those oat slices from the IGA. Oh, yeah. They're like 400 calories. Like
anything that says 4-star health rating on it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, they're so crazy in their calories. So it's like, I eat healthy. It's like, well, no, you're still over consuming calories. So you're grabbing the oat slice, or you're grabbing the guilt-free protein balls that are sitting at your local cafe, which are basically are filled with dates, filled with nut butters, and like probably not, maybe the protein's from a hemp seed that they've rolled into it. So they're not high in protein. And there's no guilt either way, whether you have them or not. They just always say guilt-free on these protein balls.
Don't tell me how to feel. I might choose to.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't know me.
Exactly. Exactly. But when you're looking at it, the calories in these protein balls are always going to be so high, 9 times out of 10. So, and you can't tell me you have one of those protein balls. You're definitely going to have two of them. So you're having 400 calories, which is actually a whole meal. If you look at the calories, so you might feel like you're eating healthy, but you're over consuming calories. Now, the biggest thing that people do go wrong with is they over consume fats when they think they're eating healthy. Like they still put their butter on it. They still over slab their avocado, but like, avocado is a good fat. Yeah, it is a good fat. It is good for you. But if it drives your calories over where your maintenance calories are, because if you're consuming more calories than you're burning on a daily basis, you're going to gain weight. So guys, we need to make sure that what we can only manage what we measure. And if you're eating healthy, what is that? Again, as Jay said before, eating healthy is different to so many people. If you're a vegan, one, you're going to be eating healthy a different way to a carnivore-based diet. Different to eating healthy for a keto-based diet. Eating healthy compared to what we preach as well, or what we believe as well. So if we think about it, eating healthy is so different. But you know, at the end of the day, it all comes down to calories. And if we're tracking, I don't care what method you're using, okay, what diet and method you're using, track the calories, then you can go, I'm consuming 2,000 or 3,000 calories. If that isn't in your deficit, you're not going to lose weight no matter how healthy it is. So again, it comes back to that fast food healthy option. It doesn't matter. You could be having avocado and you know, smoothies and acai bowls and all the rest of it, but the person eating Macca's 3 meals a day is going to be losing weight faster than you if they're in a calorie deficit and choosing smarter foods. They might not be in quotes healthier, their gut health, but they'll be losing weight and getting the aesthetic results a lot faster because they're maintaining a calorie deficit. Because
but also,
again,
like,
you can only manage what you measure.
Like also general health, the biggest, like for most people, regardless of gut health or anything like that, the biggest health improvement will be losing body fat. The strain on your organs, the strain on your limbs and your joints and your body in general, just to kind of run all of that extra tissue that it doesn't need, that's just superfluous, it's just sitting there. All of that it adds a toll to you. So just be aware of the fact that it's like fat loss should be the number one focus if you are in that position. And however we get there is however we get there. But as Trav's saying, yeah, big thing for me, same thing, over consuming fats, because they tend to be the ones that everyone's like, oh, help, like, but good fats still have calories. good fats are like they're still not the best thing for you to overconsume. There still needs to be a limit on that. Just like there's good carbs, oh, whole grains, this whole grain granola with organic honey. Yeah, it's still going to fuck you up. It's like the biggest thing for me is as Trav's saying, portion sizes. Like every the dose. I want you all to really hear this. The dose makes the poison, from the good and the bad. The dose is what makes the poison. Salt, organic Himalayan rock salt will kill you faster than sugar will. Right? Now, sugar's so bad for you, but it's like, yeah, your organic sprinkle fucking Salt Bay salt, that'll kill you faster in terms of consumption than sugar, right? You can live for a long time on sugar. It wouldn't be the best life, but you can live a hell of a lot longer. Salt will kill you faster. Yeah. The dose makes the poison for all ingredients. When it comes, there's like, you know, there's like cyanide is in apples. All right, fucking, you're not going to die eating apples. This is where people like fearmonger ingredients, but also promote ingredients. It's like, okay, cool. You've got to know your portion control. Like a quarter of a cup to half a cup of granola is probably a serve, what they put on the back of the packet. What isn't a serve is just free pouring until you feel happy inside. Oh, yep, there's all my granola and all my cereal. Boom, I've got a fucking massive big bowl of it because I do 10 Weet-Bix because I'm, you know, you're not a triathlete. You don't need to do 10 Weet-Bix. But it's just understanding the dose makes the poison for both good and for bad. So when you are having something like avocados and you're overindulging in you know, quote unquote good fats, just be aware, it's like just because they're good doesn't mean that I have to eat so many of them and they don't have any other consequences. Same thing with nuts. One handful of almonds or cashews will set you back a couple hundred calories, right? Depending on how big your hands are, they'll really do a number on your calories. So just make sure that you're not overdoing, especially the fats, because those are the things that really add up.
I generally never, this is me personally, I generally go into a fat loss phase with myself or any clients. I kind of remove nuts and also peanut butter, especially at the start, because...
Oh, man. I'm a slut for peanut butter. You have to.
And that's the problem, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, even at the start, it's like, you're like, oh, just have a tablespoon of peanut butter. No one's having a tablespoon. Like you're having like,
well, their idea like, of a tablespoon.
Yeah, is, you get yeah it, exactly. Yeah. It's a
heaped up thing.
Tablespoon. I was like, no, that was three times the calories. Because you're not having a proper tablespoon. You're not having five almonds or three cashews, right? Like people go, oh yeah, I had only some nuts and it was super healthy. Again, good fats, right? It's like, no, you just had like 300 calories. There's way better ways to spend those 300 calories than on a couple of cashews. So I think with this, we really want to say, you know, these superfoods or health foods, when we're eating, you know, clean and healthy, we just need to look at the calorie density inside them and the satiety from them as well. Like, is that 300 calories going to make you full? No, then find something that's going to make you more full than that. Like 400 grams of carrots is going to be 140 calories. So if we look at it, it's like, man, like you, 400, your jaw's going to hurt. You're going to not want to eat anymore after 400 grams of carrots. Like, and have that with like a high protein yogurt. And you're good to go. Now, that's one thing. And I'm going to just sort of preface into the next thing. And we'll say on this on a short time, all calories aren't equal, guys. So again, because we talked about this, it's like, every gram of fat is 9 calories. Every gram of protein is 4 calories. Every gram of carbohydrate is 4 calories. Alcohol is 7 calories. So if we look at it, this is why the low-fat diets came around, because they looked at the calories and, oh, if we just take fats out, then it's going to take overall calorie consumption down, which to a degree that definitely does work. But what we need to do is we do need some healthy fats in our diet for hormone function. So we just can't cut fats out. We want to increase our protein intake because that will keep you fuller for longer. That will also help you hold lean muscle mass. We also want carbohydrates in our diet because that will help your performance and also your cognitive function, your brain function. So we need all of these things in our diet. That's why we shouldn't have any type of cutting out of any macronutrient. The only one I say you could cut out, which is empty calories, is the alcohol, if we're looking at calories, and because it's not serving a purpose for you, like if in body composition. So if we look at it, we want to drive protein up, keeps us fuller for longer. It's muscle sparing, especially in a calorie deficit. So you'll hold your muscle mass and it's going to increase your satiety. So like you do stay full. Things we can reduce slightly are carbohydrates and fat consumption, not all the way, but that will bring overall calorie consumption down. Now that means all calories are not created equal. So just don't look for low calorie foods. Look for lower calorie, high protein foods. And that's probably going to be the better option for you.
100%. And as we've talked about before, I think we talked about food, like food volume and food size. We've done a couple of videos for our private clients in the Facebook group on really visualizing that change and seeing that difference, because food volume is going to be the number one thing that keeps you from feeling hungry. And the reason most people fail on their diets is because they get hungry and they don't know how to deal with that hunger, right? So it is looking at the best bang for buck, as we talked about before, best bang for buck for your food. Making sure, as Trav's saying, it's high protein, because that protein, the calories from that are going to be, you know, harder to digest. They're going to burn more calories from digestion, the thermic effect of food. They're also just going to maintain your muscle mass. And that's the biggest thing for us. We want to maintain. Here's the biggest thing. You gain and maintain muscle mass when you have a high protein diet and you train really hard in the gym and you do some weight training, right? The more you retain, because this kind of leading into another one, I'll cover it later, but you know, a lot of guys are like, oh, but I don't want to gain muscle, I just want to tone up. Like, if you want that result, you need to retain muscle mass and lose body fat. How do you do that? Well, if you're losing a kilo a week and you're not on a high protein diet, right, you're on a low protein, like vegan diet, you're just like, oh, I saw people eat salads and quinoa, so I'm having fucking salad and quinoa and couscous and some olive oil. All right, cool. You're losing a kilo a week. Let's say, you know, if we're just going to simplify things, let's say like 600 grams of that might be fat, 400 grams of that might be muscle. Because you're not doing any weight training, right? If you start doing the weight training and you're also doing a high protein diet, that ratio is going to change to like 80, 90% fat, maybe 5, 10% muscle. And therefore it's like, all right, well, I'm still losing the same amount of weight though. But yeah, you're losing more fat, which is what you actually fucking want.
Yeah, but it's also people coming on that, going down that sort of rabbit hole. People come in saying, I don't want to lose weight. I just want to tone up. They want to stay the same weight. Again, guys, like, weight is
are
just
a guitar?
Literally. It makes no sense.
Tone you up?
Yeah. So when we look at it, that actually doesn't make sense, because to tone up, you need to lose fat, and we'll probably lose weight whilst losing fat unless you're one coming back from a hiatus and you know how to train and you have muscle mass that you've lost, and that you'll gain the muscle mass and lose the fat at the same time, which your weight may maintain. But I would say for 90% of people, what we need to do is, if you need to lose 10 kilos, 15 kilos, and most people are like, oh, I just need to lose 5, then you probably need to lose 15. When we look at this, like, it's not about, I just want to tone up. It's like, no, I need to go into a deficit because I need to drop fat, okay? To see the muscle tone or the level of leanness or get your abs, or I just want to lose my gut and tone up, you have to lose weight. And you're going to lose weight primarily, if you eat correctly, through fat mass. And then once you've lost the fat mass, it's much easier to lose fat mass then gain muscle mass than do both at the same time. Like, it is just much easier. So we want to focus on dropping fat, then gaining muscle mass. They have two different approaches with dieting for this. So, you know, and we want to see tangible results. If we're trying to go on a recomposition-based approach where we're trying to lose fat and gain muscle at the same time, your calories aren't going to be in as much of a deficit. It means you're looking purely on like centimeters and also visual results. Now, you might see that 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. The time frame of change is going to be longer between visually seeing the change, purely because you're not on a aggressive as a calorie deficit, which then wavers people's motivation. So like, we want to get motivation as high as possible. So we want results as fast as possible. So to tone up, we want to lose weight fast and then get back into a calorie maintenance or a surplus and gain that weight back, but through muscle mass, not fat mass. So guys, we don't want to tone, we want to drop fat, okay? And then we want to gain muscle mass. The toning is not a thing, okay? We need to drop fat or gain muscle. They are the two things that we need to do.
Yeah, man, I think people really struggle with the idea of toning, because, you know, I want to see more definition in my arms and my abs and my muscles. It's like, I think people also have like a little bit of an aversion to the idea of weight loss sometimes if they try it again and again and again. Or that here's a big thing for a lot of guys. You'll go on these, oh, but I've been on weight loss plans before where, you know, maybe you ate some fucking protein shakes and no, not even shakes, like meal replacement shakes and salads. And then you went for a run and your protein was at like 50 grams of protein a day and you're not doing any weight training or you're just doing some circuits. And then you just go from being a bigger version of you to a slightly smaller version of you, right? You become skinny fat and you don't like the look of that. And then it's like, oh, this is what weight loss is. I was like, no, that is what weight loss is, but weight loss is not fat loss. Fat loss, like you do not get to reap the benefits of it until you're like, because I've been on a bit of a cut the last couple of weeks. And I would say that the abs and the lines and all that sort of stuff hasn't been coming through until the last like week and a half. And I've been doing it for like 2 months. Right. And I didn't start from that big of a place when I started the cut. So, but the last little portion is where you start to see the lines coming through. And I've been consistently weight training and eating protein and have put on a bit of muscle mass as well in sort of the time before that, which is why I was doing the shred. So you've just got to know that fat loss is going to create the tone, but it's going to take some fucking time and you've got to commit and you've got to be willing to go, all right, if I actually want to see tone, to see definition, to lose the gut, I'm going to have to lose probably a substantial amount of weight and then build up a bit of a base of muscle mass in order to stretch the skin tight enough to see that stuff. That's going to take work. So you've just got to commit to it. You've got to really say, all right, well, I'm committed to getting to this process no matter what it takes, not this, or I just want to, you know, go to the gym and then, you know, this is probably a good time to talk about this one and then just turn the fat into muscle.
And I think that's a big thing. If I think about it, man, like one of my clients, I've had for nearly 2 years. We've done a cut, we've done a bulk, we've done another cut, we're going into our another bulk. He's dropped 15 kilos, gained 6 kilos, dropped 7 kilos, and he's going back into the gaining phase. Unfortunately for him, earlier in his life, he didn't put on much muscle mass, right? So when we, like I said to him, you just have to trust the process, and this is going to be for us a longer, because it's harder to gain muscle mass later on in life as well. If you don't already have some. So the earlier you can start training, the better. Doesn't mean you can't gain muscle mass. It's just for some people also with testosterone, it will decrease. So it's going to be harder again. So you just have to trust the process. Our first cut, you're going to feel a bit skinny because it just is, because you don't have the muscle mass to feel massive and feel like jacked and lean. So you have to go, and your friends are going to say you're going to look skinny, one, because that's what assholes do, and like it's just gonna, but trust the process. And we dieted down, he lost his like weight, and then, you know, he goes, oh, I feel a bit skinny. I was like, don't worry, we're at the approach now that we focus on gaining muscle mass. So we went into a calorie surplus, and then he's gone into his second cut, and it's going to take him like three cuts to like three good proper cuts to get abs and look jacked and athletic. So he's gone through the second cut. Now you can see his pec definition. You can see his back definition. You can see his shoulders popping off his arms because he went through a cut. He went through a surplus and a cut and gone through a surplus. So you go through the phases and understand, if I haven't had early enough muscle mass earlier in my life, when I do cut, it's not magic. You don't just like appear with all this muscle mass underneath. At a portion of time, if you don't have that muscle, you might feel a bit skinny, right? And then you go back into the next, like, you know, inverted commas bulk, which is like a lean gain. Like, get Jace, you just went through a lean gain and then you've gone through a cut again and you're looking bigger to your previous cut because you've focused on gaining lean muscle mass. You're going through the exact thing I just was talking about with my client. But you just had to go, no, I'm focusing on going through the process. And I think that's a big thing.
And it's, you've got to be, and this is it's a big mental game, because you've got to be okay with getting a little bit fluffy and gaining a little bit of, like, you don't want to gain a shit ton. You're still going to be looking better, because like if you're gaining 1-to-1 muscle mass to fat, and that's still a pretty big ratio. That's like not the ratio you want to aim for. But even if you were gaining that, because you're starting from a pretty lean place, you're going to look pretty fucking jacked. And it's easy to then, when you shred, lose a bigger percentage of fat than muscle mass. You've got to be patient. You've got to trust the process, and you've got to be willing to go, all right, I know that this cut I might end up looking skinny. I might look like a bit of a bobblehead. That was me on my first abs. I was like, no neck, just real, real slim. And it's like, all right, I'm getting abs now at a higher body weight, because I've gained, I think, probably about 2-3 kilos of muscle, which might not seem like a lot, but if you go buy like a 2-3 kilo slab of meat, it's like, all right, this is distributed over a few places, but still pretty, you know, that's sizable. It makes a difference. Yeah, I'm all right with that, right? Like for me, that's like a 5%, like 4 or 5% increase in total lean mass, in total lean body mass, which is cool. It just requires sacrifice and it requires sticking to the plan. So like not to try and scare anyone off starting, but it's like, you've just got to know what the long game is. Like if you want to look aesthetic and athletic, I was going to say aesthetic is like both mixed into one, but they're both fucking the same word basically. But if you want to look like a fit dad, there's got to be like, if looks are important to you from that regard, like, yeah, you're going to need to do that. But also that will come with performance. The better you perform in the gym, the more muscle mass you will tend to gain. And the stronger you get, if you just focus on getting stronger, you'll look better and you'll get more muscle mass as well. So you're not turning fat into muscle. You are shedding the fat and then gaining the muscle. There's no system in your body that goes, "Oh, this fat will just." It would be convenient, right? It's like a government branches. It's like, well, I could just put you straight through to them, but you can't. You've got to hang up, then you've got to call this other department that's completely separate. So it's like you can't just go from fat loss into muscle gain. You've got to have the fat loss do its own thing. That energy goes away. Then you've got to put new energy in that then creates the muscle mass. It's like it's not a one-for-one, you know, trading situation. It's not very clean. Right. You've got to go through a lot of government departments and to make it work. So you can't just turn fat into muscle. It just doesn't work that way.
They're two completely different things, guys. You cannot turn one into another. You need to lose one and gain another. I think with this, you know, as we're talking about training at the moment, also you have to lift close to failure. Like people will come in saying, "I just, you know, higher reps, lighter weights." It's like, yeah, man. Like if it's lighter weights, you have to do a lot of reps because you still want to be under 35 reps, okay, and you still want to be 2 reps from failure to 1 rep from failure. Now, unless I really dislike you, any of my clients out there, I've got on 35 reps, I just dislike you. I'm joking. I just want
you're doing high rocks and you're building your endurance. Yeah,
exactly. Anything, if we're looking at high reps, it's endurance-based, but you can still gain muscle mass up to 35 reps, but you still have to be 2 reps from failure. The only problem is there's so much lactic acid build up when you're lifting a weight heavy enough, close to 35 reps, it's brutal. And especially if you're doing leg training, and I've got you like, if you're doing like 20 rep front squats, the 25 rep front squats or 30 reps on a leg press close to failure, like guys, you'd probably be vomiting in the gym. Like that's why we don't typically program high reps close to failure, because it sucks. And the same is why we don't go too low on the reps, because unless you're going for a powerlifting meet, you really don't need to lift much around the 6 reps, which you can still gain muscle mass, but it's still 1 to 2 reps from failure. But it's going to nail your nervous system, and if it depends on your training age, you're going to be a higher prone to injury just on form, especially with online coaching. So there is a sweet spot somewhere inside that sort of 10 to 15, 18 reps. I like 10 to 15 reps. That form can be good. You can control the movement, the tempo of the actual exercise, and you can still be 2 reps from failure, and it's not going to be too heavy. It's not going to be too light. You're not going to hit that endurance side of things, because we don't need high endurance unless you're doing an endurance event. And that's with 2 reps from failure, guys. It says 12 reps, and it means you could lift 14 reps and no more than 14 reps. I think that's a very clear thing. You need to be lifting a weight very close to failure to gain that lean muscle mass that you're looking for.
Yeah, it's like training, as much as we talk about how important training is enduring fat loss, it's infinitely more important in muscle gain, because if you're not training hard enough, you're just going to be getting fat, right? At least with fat loss, you'll still be maintaining a bit of muscle mass from, you know, even if you're not doing an ideal stimulus and getting close to failure, you'll still be like, you'll be challenging the muscles enough where you're not going to be like catabolizing all of it. But when it comes to muscle gain, you've got to be willing to go fucking hard in the gym. And then guess what? The next week, you've got to go a little bit harder. And the next week, you've got to go a little bit harder. And it's a big mental battle. So you've got to know where your failure point is by pushing yourself to that point. So muscle gain is not an easy, simple process, but it is something that you can do with the right approaches. You've just got to be willing to push yourself, but you can't just turn the fat into muscle. It's, you know, like I dream of Jeannie, wiggle your nose.
A big thing though, people will come in and say, I don't want to eat too few calories because I don't want to go into starvation mode. and like stop weight loss or stop fat loss, right? Mm. Now, guys, I just want to tell you there's no such thing as eating too few calories to stop weight loss. I don't know if you ever looked at concentration camps, but they didn't eat much at all and they weren't all fat. So they didn't like put on fat because they weren't eating enough in the concentration camps. They were literally legit, skin and bones.
They were legit like, starving. They were dying of starvation. There's a reason why people die of starvation, and it's not because it causes them to gain fat.
No, exactly. They didn't die of obesity because they went into starvation mode. I think what we have to look at, guys, but this is a thing that a lot of people think. Yes, eating fewer calories will cause you to lose weight. And then, yes, your metabolism will decrease because now you're burning less calories. And there is some hormonal things at play. So we want to make sure we're having optimal calories. But also when we're eating less calories, we need to jack up protein higher in especially more aggressive diets. Because, again, protein is muscle sparing. So we want to make sure we're dropping as much fat mass as possible. And also in more aggressive diets, we are prone to losing some more muscle mass because, you know, we're losing weight at a higher rate that we don't want to. We talked about this the other week. I like to stay around the 1 to 1.5% total body weight loss per week to minimize the muscle loss during a diet. But guys, you're not going to go into starvation mode. But the only problem is eating too fewer calories is psychologically with hunger, recovery, repair, and muscle loss. That's why we don't want to go too low on the calories or why we would phase someone's calories up when we feel like there's a point where psychologically they can't maintain the calories to achieve the result during the diet.
Yeah. One of my clients, one of my guys, Cameron, who listens pretty religiously, shout out Cameron. We recently did a bump up to maintenance, and this is something that we do. We've talked about the cycles of fat loss and maintenance and tracking because over time, it does become psychological. There is a certain point where physiologically, your body starts to send you signals to bump your calories back up. It doesn't stop fat loss. Like there's nothing that will make you gain fat or gain weight from it. But it does send you signals, for example, and when you've been on a cut for a long period of time, and think about bodybuilders going for a prep. They get dick skin lean, like fucking ridiculously shredded. You don't see a bunch of some bodybuilder on stage like, oh, sorry, accidentally hit starvation mode. And now I'm blown out. No, they're all friggin' diced, right? Because they've been in a calorie deficit for like 18 weeks. But when you get to that point where you've been in a deficit for a long time, a couple of things happen. Your testosterone tends to drop, right? Your sex drive will definitely drop. You'll have lower energy. And as a result of having lower energy, you'll move around less. You'll fidget less. You'll walk more sluggishly. You're not going to walk with a spring in your step. And that can make a difference in your overall expenditure. So your body does little things to try like, hey, we're not eating enough. Let's slow things down. So you've just got to be aware that's going to happen and be conscious of, okay, my body's going to try and slow me down because it's like, hey, you're not getting enough energy to do all this fidgeting and moving and walking and running and being active that you have been doing. So you've got to be conscious about it. Second thing that happens a lot of time is your sleep can get affected. And this is what was happening with Cam, was we were getting to the point where he was only getting like 5.5 hours of like broken sleep in the night because we'd been on a pretty drastic deficit for quite a while. And I was like, all right, let's just bump up. Get back up. Let's get to maintenance. Let's start to get some energy back. Let's start to get some training intensity back and feeling good before we then go into another cut. He's feeling better. His sleep is better. And then your body adapts quite quickly. So once it gets back up there, it's like, all right, cool. We're feeling good again. Everything's like you've revved up the engine in essence to get back up to operating speed. Then you drop back down again into a deficit. So it's just knowing that, hey, things will slow down. It will slow down in a bunch of very like tactical and specific ways that you can alter by making sure you're on top of your expenditure and you're not like, oh, now that I'm on a deficit, I feel tired, so I don't go for walks. It's like, well, no, that's when you need to go for those extra walks because your body is trying to slow you down. You've just got to be smarter, right? And you've just got to be aware of that. There's no such thing as starvation mode. Well, starvation mode is just literally called starving. There you go. That's starvation mode.
I think looking at this next part is people will say, I just want to do some cardio to burn fat, so I don't want to weight train. With people saying, I don't want a weight training program, I'll just do this by myself and do cardio and I'll burn fat, or I'm going to do some running or boxing or HIIT workouts. Now, the problem with doing these things is you're going to lose muscle mass if you're not weight training. So we don't do cardio to burn fat. We diet to lose fat. Okay, we diet to lose weight. It's not cardio that helps us lose weight, or running, or boxing, or HIIT workouts. We eat a calorie deficit. we do these other things to burn calories. Now, if we're burning calories or extra calories from cardio, running, boxing, HIIT workouts, and we're eating in a calorie deficit, we're going to lose a higher amount of muscle mass if we're not weight training. And you'll never achieve that toned look that you were going for beforehand when you said, I want to just get toned. So if you only have two sessions a week inside your given constraints, then you want to spend those two sessions a week preserving lean muscle mass, because you're prone to losing muscle mass in a calorie deficit. So the cardio is the is for cardiovascular exercise. I want to get more cardio fit because I want to run a marathon or half a marathon. That's why, or I just want to get more healthy and get my heart rate down, my resting heart rate. That's when you do your cardiovascular exercise. But if you only have two workouts a week, there two times to work out, given your constraints, you must be doing weight training inside those two workouts.
Yeah, exactly. Cardio is a great tool to increase expenditure. Again, as we spoke about, as your body starts to slow things down, and you know, you might, it's a great tool for when you don't have, for example, maybe the recovery capacity to do another weight training session, because there is an upper limit of how much weight training you should be doing on a deficit. It's different for everyone, but if you're training like doing 4 or 5 times a week weight training, I don't think a sixth or a seventh is going to really help. And the goal of cardio is a tool to help increase your expenditure, as well as doing all the other things. It is not fat burning on its own. In a vacuum, it increases your expenditure. But if you're not doing all the other things right, it's just going to turn you skinny fat. Again, as we've spoken about before. So it's not the thing that burns fat. It is a tool to up your expenditure, but it's a tool you want to use sparingly. Like, you don't want to start by doing a shit ton of cardio, because then when you hit a wall with your diet, as we've spoken about, your body adapts over time. It'll send you signals to decrease your fidgeting and your little unconscious movements that do burn energy. It adds up over the course of the day. It'll send you signals through your sleep to kind of burn less energy, all of that stuff. If you're already doing a shit ton of cardio, you've got nowhere to go. Once you hit a plateau, and you do hit a plateau, everyone hits a fucking plateau eventually. That's the whole point. Then you need to adapt. You need to make a calorie change, or you need to make an activity change. And if you're already on really low calories and really hungry, the only way to go is your activity to go up. But you're already doing 3 fucking cardio sessions a week. You've given yourself no wiggle room to scale it up as you need to. So there's a big reason why we don't start with a shit ton of cardio, because that is a lever that you want to pull. It's like a trump and an ace you've got in your back pocket that you want to pull out when you need to. You don't want to go balls to the wall straight away on any kind of a deficit, because you end up losing a lot of the scaling options for later to continue the little tweaks and the little things you can do to change just enough to push the body into a further deficit. Yeah, exactly.
So last thing we're going to quickly go through, guys, is I'm going to wrap it in together. Carbs are bad, or eating at night, or eating carbs at night, or eating just before you go to bed. All the same thing. One, because I can't eat last thing before I go to bed, because my body won't metabolize the food and I'll gain it, store it as fat. So just so you know, your body doesn't have like this 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. I ate carbs at 6 p.m. automatically that turns to fat. No, calories are calories. It doesn't matter when you eat them, guys. As far as weight loss, all that matters is, did you stick to a calorie deficit in the day? Eating 5 minutes before you go to bed, will that make you gain weight because you didn't metabolize it? No, your metabolism runs 24 hours a day. Okay, might not eat straight before you go to bed because your sleep quality might be fucked, but it's not gonna like stop you losing your weight. Okay, calorie deficit matters most. Having bread does not slow down weight loss. All it is a portion of protein, fats, and carbs. So all these things, guys, don't think that you can't eat before bed. Don't think you can't eat carbohydrates. Don't think you shouldn't eat carbs at nighttime, because all those things are absolute utter bullshit. There is timing for optimal body composition, but when we're looking at total weight loss when we're looking at fat loss, like, you can have some pasta at nighttime. Like, you know, you can have a sandwich at nighttime or during the day. And yes, you can eat before bed if you want to. It's not going to slow down your weight loss.
Exactly. It comes back to not demonizing any one particular macronutrient or food. There's no magical timings. You've got to look, and it's about looking at the big picture. When you're looking at your balance sheet, when it comes to your profit and loss or your bank account, you look at the big picture. You don't look at, oh, today we spent a lot of money. It's like, well, yeah, did we have to pay a lot of bills today, right? Like, you've got to look at the big picture. Of course, year on year, are we making money? Are we not? Week on week, month on month, are we improving? Are we not? Oh, but I ate at nighttime this time. Does not fucking matter, right? But, oh, but I had this food. I ate a burger on this day. Were you in your calories? Yeah, well, then you're fine, right? So you've got to zoom out. I think the big picture for this, the big thing for this is you've got to zoom out. There's some stuff you've just got to get less granular on. And there's some misconceptions, obviously, that we've cleared up. But there's a lot that if you just zoom out a little bit and go, hey, in the big picture, does this shit actually fucking matter? We've cleared up the misconceptions around training, around cardio, around you know, just getting toned and defined and turning fat into muscle and all of those things. And we've cleared up some of the and zoomed out on some of the things that people get too anal about, like, oh, but I eat healthy and six meals a day and eating late at night and starvation mode and all that shit. So think about, you've got to think about these things logically. But if you ever struggle with this kind of stuff and you have any questions, you're like, fuck, this makes no sense to me, even after the podcast, comment on the video, send us a message on Instagram, you know, wherever you can, just interact with us, give us a rating, 5 stars, because, you know, we're great and we clear up all the misconceptions for you. But if you do have any questions, let us know. And if you are wanting to become a fit dad and get from where you are to where you want to be and clear up all the bullshit along the way, head to fit-dad.club and book in a call and we'll make it happen.
And that's it for another episode, guys. And we will chat to you next week. I hope you did have a great Easter. And I can't wait till the next episode. Talk to you later, Jace.
Peace.